Turning to Romans chapter 8, we've been thinking of the Holy Spirit and his grand work in the heart and life of a believer in these three verses. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, let me read them. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, here in these three verses we have three major works of the Holy Spirit. There in verse 14, as we've already looked at, the leading of the Spirit. Only those that are led, truly led of the Spirit, are the sons of God. Especially, of course, the leading of the Spirit into holiness and prayerfulness and witness to those around us. This is the leading of the Spirit. We don't think of this verse as some of our charismatic friends do, in terms of being led to do something miraculous. No, we don't see that. But led of the Spirit, prompted of the Spirit, in all ways that he directs from his word, never being contrary to his word, never leading us in a way that is against his own word. So the leading of the Spirit shows us that we are the children of God. And then we looked last week at verse 15, the fact that we had received that spirit of adoption. Well, this is the comfort of the Spirit, the wonderful comfort that was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would not leave us comfortless, he would not leave us as orphans. He would give us an advocate, one that would stand with us and defend us, certainly on that last day of judgment, but through our life here. Well, we did have a bondage of fear at one time as we saw the law, and we saw that it was against us. And as the Apostle Paul puts it, it killed us, it slew us. We saw that we could never keep such a law, that we were heading for eternal damnation. That was the spirit of fear that we had. But then at conversion, we were granted the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit of adoption. We knew we were the children of God. Oh, this came to us in all ways of comfort, and does still. And now we come to that third major work of the Spirit mentioned in these verses in verse 16. This is our theme today. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So this morning's thinking is this: the witness of the Spirit. Now, I have to warn you, friends, this is hard. This is a difficult thing. And really, as I go through these things today, I want to say quite a lot to try and open up what the words of this text mean to us, and get some understanding of it. And I just warn you that perhaps it won't be till towards the end of our thinking here this morning that we'll perhaps the penny might drop and we'll say, well, this is what this verse is all about. So don't get too troubled if you find some of these things a little mysterious, or some of them slip you by, as it were. Just hold on there, and in the end we'll have a message concerning what this means, the witness of the Spirit. So let's begin to examine this verse here this morning, try to get our heads round it. Well, first of all, we have to admit to a lapse on the part of our Authorised Version translators in this verse. You see here we've got the Spirit itself. The Spirit itself beareth witness. The same lapse, if I can say it in that way, is seen there down in verse 26, where you have this: likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. So here the Spirit is spoken of as itself. Well, this is very impersonal, isn't it? And of course, this is one of the proof texts of the Jehovah's Witnesses, to try to prove that the Holy Spirit is not a person of the Holy Trinity, the three persons, the person of the Father, the person of the Word, the Son of God, and the person of the Holy Spirit. No, they say, no, look, here the Bible is saying itself. It's saying it's not a person. It's some sort of feeling or some sort of influence of some sort. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses and many others have believed. Well, why do we have here itself? Certainly, the itself there is neither masculine nor feminine there in the Greek, but is neuter. And we have a little problem here. Well, the problem for the Authorised Version translators was to be whether they should be literal or not. In fact, that was their problem all the way through their translation of the scripture. How literal were they to be and yet still retain some sense for us? If in every case they just translated word for word, then we would struggle a lot. Well, the Authorised Version has certainly tried to stay as literal as possible and a word-for-word translation as far as possible, but with a gentle update to give us an understanding of what these things are. Other translations, many modern ones, they go a bit far the other way. And they have all sorts of equivalents put into the scripture, words that are not there. And just to help the thing along, and people feel that they understand it, so much is lost. So much is lost in some of the modern translations because we haven't got close enough to the original language so that we can begin to explore it and to see what these things mean. But here we have the Spirit itself beareth witness. Well, Tyndale perhaps does better. He changes the Greek order and he says the same Spirit. The same Spirit. So he has same instead of itself. And so we have the two verses 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, the Spirit of adoption. And then verse 16, the Spirit, the same Spirit. The same Spirit as in the first two verses. Well, bears witness with our spirit. Well, we feel that would be a little better. But we're quite happy to have the Spirit himself. Although there's no masculine gender there, that's really what it means. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, and so we would be happy with that. But of course, the Bible certainly teaches the personality of the Holy Spirit. He is a person, one of the three persons of the Holy Spirit. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as he, as him. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as being hurt on occasion, being grieved on occasion. And it speaks of the Holy Spirit knowing. He knows. And he gives gifts. And the Holy Spirit he loves. And he reproves. All the attributes of personality. Of course, God is neither male nor female. Well, it, in our connotation, is rather rude, isn't it? But it does not deny the personhood in this case. We might say, well, God, of course, is not male or female or it. He is God. He, if you like, he's a gender on his own. He is the almighty, glorious, infinite God. And though the Bible constantly uses the masculine gender for God, and that's why we continue to use it, because if God has referred to himself in that way, then of course we must. We must follow the lead of our God and speak of him. Of him, yes, of course, that is right. And we have many foolish notions today from the so-called modern theologians concerning the gender of God, which are ridiculous and foolish. And frankly, friends, they're blasphemous. We will adhere to the word of God and speak of our God as him in that sense. And this has got nothing to do with any superiority of male over female amongst the human race. Of course not. It's nothing to do with that. We just see how reverently God is addressed in his word. Well, we see that the Holy Spirit is himself in that sense. Now, what the Holy Spirit is said to do in this verse is also one of the great proofs of his personhood. Here we read that he bears witness. Now only a rational being can do that, bear witness. A force cannot bear witness. An influence cannot bear witness in a court of law. The judge and jury would not be very impressed to have some semblance of the influence of some person giving testimony. They want the person themselves. The Holy Spirit is not, say, the influence of God giving testimony. It is the Holy Spirit himself. It does not say here, God's Spirit. No, we read here that it is the Spirit himself. The same, the self-same Spirit that gives testimony. The same Spirit of there, verses 14 and verse 15. Well, here's something else we need to think about as we try to get our mind around this text. We read here of our Spirit. Our Spirit. Now this, friends, is a vast subject. of our subject concerning the soul, concerning the spirit. We know that the soul is alive in one respect. It will be alive through all eternity, either in heaven or in hell. We read of the soul being alive in that sense. But we read in the scriptures that the spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. The spiritual aspect of our soul comes alive at conversion. Our spiritual being, our spiritual consciousness, if you like, our spiritual comprehension and our spiritual understanding and awakening, our mind, if you like, is the same thing. But here, only the converted mind, the converted consciousness we're thinking of when we think of our spirit. Now, as with these previous two verses, the distinction is made or implied. In verse 14, of course, we saw, as we looked at that verse, that only those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And clearly the opposite is true. Those that are not led of the Spirit to holiness, to prayerfulness, and to worship, all those things that the Spirit leads us in, well, if they're not led in that way, then they're not children of God. So there's a distinction, a Christian and a non-Christian, a believer and a non-believer, the saved and the unsaved. Then again, in verse 15, we have, indeed, it's spelt out even more clearly. Those that have received the Spirit of adoption, they are the sons of God. They cry, Abba, Father. These are the children of the living God. It can be seen. At conversion, they received the Spirit. And that Spirit, supremely, was a Spirit of adoption. And they knew that they were saved. They knew that they were children of God. And therefore, those that haven't got the Spirit of adoption, that have not been converted, never received the Holy Spirit, well, they're not the children of God. So there again, the unbeliever and the believer. And here now in verse 16, it is the Spirit himself that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you read here, our spirit. Now, you must remember that every time you read the letters of the New Testament, that they are nearly all addressed in the main to Christians. And when the Apostle Paul says our spirit, he's speaking of us believers, us that have come to know the Saviour, the believers in the church there at Rome. That's who he's speaking to. And he says, well, our spirit. He's not talking about the unbeliever. He's not talking about people outside of the church that never came to know the Saviour. Of course not. He's speaking only of believers. He's not speaking of men and women generally around the world. He says here, our spirit, we who know the Lord and have been converted. He writes to Christians. Now, speaking of the Christian's spiritual consciousness, if you like, the Christian's spirit, or the Christian's renewed mind, here referred to as our spirit, we have a few things to say. And we just need to return to a text that was there in our reading, just a few pages on, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. This is a very great commentary on the verse that we're looking at here this morning. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man, that is the unconverted man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Well, here we see that in this verse, the Apostle Paul is making a distinction again between the Christian and the non-Christian. The natural man, the non-Christian man, the unbeliever, he can't really receive the things of the Spirit of God, but the believer can. And only a believer has a spirit that is alive. Only a believer has a spirit that is alive and can receive spiritual concepts from God, from the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, for a non-Christian, well, they don't want to know. They don't want to know anything to do with spiritual things. Well, we know that that's the case. It was the case with us before we were converted. The non-believer does not even want to know anything spiritually good. So even the fact that he doesn't want to know these things will be a great shackle to him understanding anything of the Spirit. He will not receive such things. And of course, it is a gracious thing. These are things that are given. They're not earned. they're not worked out ourselves. We understand such a thing. It is a gracious thing, as we see in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. They're revealed to us. We couldn't know them unless they were revealed to us. We would never have known about our lost estate, except God revealed it to us. We would never have known about our awful sin and offence towards God, unless God had revealed it to us by his Spirit. We would never have known the way of salvation, how we might find forgiveness, unless it was revealed to us by the Spirit. And of course, this is all by God's wonderful grace, by his mercy to us. Our spirit is only alive because of God's grace. If it were not for God's grace working towards us by his Spirit, we wouldn't know any of these things. We wouldn't understand them at all. But grace brings these things to us. So as we look again at our verse here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, where we read here that the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, that's grace. That's grace. The only way that we have this witness of the Spirit is by the grace of God. It is a marvellous thing. This is all to do with the mind. Well, I'm sorry, friends, but we're still exploring our text, trying to put some things together in our minds so that we can ponder them, so that we can come to an important point at the end. But the mind, we read in Ephesians 4, verse 23, don't turn to it. It reads here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We must be converted to have such a mind as will receive the things of the Spirit of God. Only then, only by conversion, only then will the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The mind is the entrance to the soul, the window of the soul, the Puritans used to say. The renewed mind is the entrance to the renewed, or if you like, resurrected spirit, our inner being. Everything comes to our inner spiritual consciousness by the mind. Yoga won't do it. Transcendental meditation won't do it. That empties the mind in many ways. Tongues, spoken of in some circles, they don't. Because even the way they're taught is to empty your mind and just say whatever comes. Well, that won't bring anything spiritual to our hearts and to our minds. Of course it won't. It will never hurt. Tongues won't do it. Forms and ceremonies will not do it. We would just look at something aesthetic and we would say, well, that's nice, that's wonderful, but it won't bring to us anything spiritual. And of course, infant baptism, that won't do it. It can't do anything to a child. He hasn't got a mind to receive anything. No, the mind, not a subconscious. The Bible never mentions a subconscious. There's no such thing, really. But you see, the mind of a believer, of a true believer. Through that mind, well, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, our mind, our spiritual understanding, our awakened souls, that we are the children of God. Well, now, I'm sorry, friends, that this may seem rather a jumble to you this morning, but there's more work to be done before we can get a grip on this text here. I want you to notice in this text, verse 16, that it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Notice it doesn't say, the Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit. Oh, the Bible's so careful. Words, every word is important, and here we must see the importance of this word with rather than the word to. There, this is not a so-called charismatic experience. This is not a direct spiritual experience, or supernatural rather, experience that now and then, that sort of suddenly, with striking force and tremendous ecstatic feelings, we know that the Holy Spirit has dramatically told us that we are the children of God. No, friend, not that. Not that. Some will tell us that that's what this verse is all about, but no, it says with our spirit, not to our spirit. How many true Christians would have said, this hasn't happened to me? I don't remember any time in my experience when this has happened to me, some tremendous moment when the Spirit came and spoke to my spirit and told me I was a child of God. I didn't have any experience like that. What is this all about? And many ordinary Christians would say such a thing. But as we shall see, the experience of all real Christians is that the Spirit does witness with their spiritual consciousness that they are indeed the children of God. Well, how? How? Well, first let me say, don't be put off by this verse. Don't be put off by this verse. It sounds rather grand, doesn't it? When you read it, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It sounds rather grand. And it sounds very high. It sounds ultra spiritual. Not for me, not for poor little Christian me, who's really not made much progress and still feels so sinful and so far off from, oh, this doesn't sound like the verse that I should take to myself. Add to that, the teaching of some that this is some great supernatural experience akin to tongues or speaking a prophecy or something like that, where we might think to ourselves, well, that's not for me. That's not for me. I don't think of anything like that. But the fact is, and can I say without being misunderstood, that this is the very ordinary experience of all real Christians. There may be reasons why we feel we don't know much of this, but the truth is that in the life of a true believer who takes his walk with God seriously and endeavours to be led of the Spirit and has already at conversion received the Spirit of adoption, this verse 16 should be the day by day experience to have the Spirit witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask a question. How do you know that you are a child of God? Now, of course, put aside any silly views of this. I'm in a Christian family. I come from a Christian country. I go to church. I read the Bible. I pray from time to... These things cannot save us. These things don't make us children of God. What about our conversion experience? Ah, yes. There was a time, maybe in my teenage years, maybe a bit later, when I come to see my sin. I came to see that my life was an offence to God. I came to see that I needed converting. I needed changing. I needed forgiveness for my sins. And somehow something was working within me. It must have been the Lord, but he led me to himself. And I repented of all my sin and asked him for forgiveness. And I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross and he saved me. And it was then that I knew that I'd become a child of God. Yes, that's it, that's good. But what about sins? What about since our conversion experience? Yes, even so, we might have thought back to our conversion experience and might even think to ourselves, was it real? Was it something that I can count on? When I committed my life to the Lord, was that just me? When I decided to follow Jesus, was that just me? When I put my hand up or stood up in some evangelistic crusade and walked to the future, was that just me? It all may seem pretty real to us, but what since? Is there anything since whereby I can say that I know I am a child of God? What now? Was there anything in this last week that confirms to you that you are a child of God? Well, you say to me, well, what sort of things, Pastor? What are you aiming at that will make me feel that something that happened even last week might make me feel that I am a child of God? Well, surely, if verse 16 here was in some real sense our experience last week, then that would certainly do the trick. We have asked, how do I know I'm a child of God? Well, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. And then we ask, but how? How? How do I experience this witnessing of the Spirit with my spirit? How can I tell? Let me ask you another question. Did you pray last week? Did you pray last week? I don't mean did you say your prayers. I mean, did you pray last week? Well, who to? My Heavenly Father. Was it real? Was it sincere? Not necessarily the most wonderful spiritual experience you've ever had in prayer, but was it a genuine attempt to meet with God and seek his help and his blessing? Did you pray? Why did you do that? Why did you pray? Well, it's my duty. I'm a Christian. Of course I must pray every day. Well, okay. But why did you pray to your Heavenly Father? Well, that's my habit. Before I go out to work, I must spend a while with my God. And before I take to my bed, I must thank Him for His help in the day and for His safety through the night. And thank Him for His preservation and keep... Yes, okay. Did you pray? I had a big trouble last week. An enormous circumstance in my life. It looms so high on my agenda. I had to pray about it. Okay, of course. Or you had a big task, something big you had to do, you were a little fearful of, and you asked the Lord to help you genuinely in that thing. But why? Why did you pray? Why did you pray? Well, because He's my Father. He's my Heavenly Father, my Saviour. I sought Him in prayer. I've known for some time that life is nothing without this. It's because I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. He hears my prayer and He answers and He is real. And I want to be with Him and I want to praise Him. Oh, I'm so ashamed that it's not so good all the time. It's not so close, but this is what I want. How do you know all that? How do you know all that? Well, I just know. I just know since I was converted. Well, of course, this is true that I need to seek God in prayer. I've known it ever since the Lord saved me. Well, who makes you to know this? Oh, it's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. Do you see? Do you see? Did you do anything for the Lord last week? By way of service? By way of witnessing? Saying something for Him? Or standing in a situation where you knew you'd be laughed at because of what you thought? Why did you do that? Well, because I've got a testimony to maintain. My Heavenly Father, and for the cause of my Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Well, why did you stand for Him? Well, because I'm a child of... Well, how do you know? Because He witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. Did you read your Bible last week on your own? Did you get it open and read a chapter or a few verses and thought about them, and you perhaps had a little help, some other great commentator that has written on these things, and you read it through, and oh, it did your heart such good. Why did you do that? Why did you turn to the Bible? Why didn't you switch the television on? Why didn't you read the newspaper? Why was it at that moment you opened the Bible and you felt your need to seek God's word and have Him speak to you, to praise Him for what you read in the word of God? Why did you do that? Well, because this is the word of my Saviour. This is the word of the Holy Spirit and of my Heavenly Father. I want to know what He wants to say to me. I want to read His word and have His direction and be led by His Spirit by looking into... Why do you do that? Why is it? Well, because His Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I'm a child of God and I love His word. Did you repent of anything last week? Yes, yeah, there was this and there was that. Well, generally I felt so called towards my God, so I came before Him. I repented of my sin. Why did you do that? Well, because I don't want to offend this Holy Spirit. I don't want to offend my Saviour who gave His life's blood that all my sin might be forgiven. Why did you do that? Why did you repent of your sin? Well, because His Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. And so I want to come to Him and repent. Well, friends, do you begin to see it? Now you will realise, of course, that what we are talking about here is this whole matter that the world will take issue with us on. And that is, how do we know? How can we know? How can we be so sure that we are children of God? How can we be so sure that we are heaven bound? Is that so? The unbelieving world will say to us, no other religion has assurance at its heart. How rash, how presumptuous, they say, that we have a personal knowledge of God, that we say that we know Him, that we say that we are bound up with Him. What is our answer to this charge? And what has it to do with this verse? And notice, the unbelieving world doesn't argue with our beliefs about God so much as our belief in God, our trust that we are His, our testimony that we are now in God's family, the children of God, in special relationship to Him on high, and are going to His heaven. What makes so many mad against us, or at least uneasy, and especially and strangely, even amongst the church-going fraternity? How dare we assert, we that are saved, that we have God's smile, that we have God's grace resting on us, that we are converted, that we are changed, that we are made pure in God's eyes and are going now to his heaven. This is what we assert. This is what we say. Well, then we have to say to them, if they listen to us, we have to say, well, it's the Bible or nothing with me. It's the scripture or nothing. The scripture says it can be so. That I can know my God and I can be assured of these things. And this very verse here, Romans 8:16, this is a principal example of such teaching. For here we have the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The uniqueness of Christianity is seen in many matters, but not the least this, that we may know God. Indeed, this is the great divider. Someone either knows God or they do not know him. But to know him is life eternal. We know Christ. We know that our sins have been forgiven. We know that we shall see him face to face. We know that we are the children of God. We know that all things work together to those that love God. We know that he hears us. We know that the suffering we experience now is not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us in the glory. We know whom we have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed my very life unto him against that day. And this morning we are asking, how can we know? How can we know? The Spirit itself. The Spirit himself, the same Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Will you notice here that there are two witnesses here? There is the Holy Spirit's witness, and there is also, friends, our witness. That's the Greek. That's the original language. That's how we ought to read this verse, you see. It reads, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit witness. That's what we have here. It means the same. It implies that the Holy Spirit's witnessing is alongside our own witnessing. Well, what is our witnessing? Well, our witnessing are the signs of life. We have dealt with these on Sunday mornings. The signs of spiritual life. Tender conscience against our sin. Our obedience to the word of God, our instinctive understanding of the gospel, our love of the brethren, our certain separation from the evil of this world. These are the signs of spiritual life. And as we see them exhibited in our own lives, they witness to us. They are a witness to us that we're Christians, that we're believers, that we are the children of God. We can witness to ourselves that we are the Lord's. There are powerful scriptural tests for our assessment, to discern whether we are his or not. But friends, we're weak. We're still sinful. We still often lack faith. We sometimes are cold in our approach to God. We are often attacked by Satan. But what a God we have. What comfort would we have if left to ourselves? If to work out our own witness and to persuade ourselves that we are the children of God. So he sends the Comforter. He sends the Holy Spirit. He sends the Spirit of adoption to let us know that we are the children of God. And the way that he does that is to witness with our Spirit's witness. We see that there are these things in place in our lives. We see the direction that we're going on in the way of holiness. We see the closeness of our God. And they all witness to us personally that we are the children of God. And then the Holy Spirit comes in powerfully for us each day, witnessing with our spirit, telling us we are the children of God. We witness to ourselves by the signs of life, and the Spirit comes alongside, the Paraclete, the Advocate. He stands by us and confirms that it is all so. You know, Tyndale again, in his translation, has here, certifies. The Spirit himself certifies with our spirit to attest that something is true, is certain. And the one who does the certifying, of course, in any situation, has to be an authority. I'm sorry about this, but if someone has to be certified insane, I'm not sure if that still happens, but it certainly was true in days gone by. If someone had to be certified insane, well, there had to be a qualified doctor, psychiatrist, I'm not sure, but a qualified person to certify that that was the case. Well, perhaps better if you had some jumbo jet or something. Comes off the production line, if they're ever on production lines, but there it is. But before it can take off, or before it can carry any passengers, it has to have a certificate of airworthiness, and the chief air engineer, or whoever it is, has to sign off the certificate. He has to certify that the plane is safe to use. Well, here, friends, the Holy Spirit certifies. He witnesses with our spirit. He is the chief witness for our defence. Now, friends, if we are to have a witness, then a witness in any situation has to have qualifications. And of course, in a court of law, usually they try as best as possible to have a witness that has perfect competence. Of course, you can't trust anyone that's not competent in a court of law. Friends, the Holy Spirit has perfect competence. Of course, he is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And of course, for a witness, the qualification must be that he has personal knowledge of something and can personally attest to something that has happened. Oh, friends, the Holy Spirit has personal knowledge, of course. He searches the depths of God. He perfectly knows our God, for he is God, and he knows us perfectly also. And then also, of course, for a witness, the qualifications for any witness in any ordinary situation means there must be probity, there must be honesty. Of course, absolute honesty. Well, the Holy Spirit, of course, he is the spirit of truth, of absolute honesty. And he is the one who is the witness that witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is a perfect witness, and he witnesses to our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, there is something very frustrating here, friends. You may have caught hold of it even in the way I speak. Something very frustrating. Something we cannot quite catch hold of. This witness of the Spirit without witness. What is it? What is it? And why is it so not clear cut to us? Why is it that Mr. Baker, well, not because of his incompetence, but why is it we can't get hold of this completely? What is it? We have the signs of spiritual life. We witness them in our own lives. We see them. But even with them, maybe we're deluded. Some have been deluded. We may think that we have them and do not. We may think we have the marks of grace displayed in our lives, but we may even there be deluded. We need someone to confirm it, to say these are real. These are real. These are the genuine article. These certainly are God-given graces. We need someone, not me, to tell me that that is so. Not some other Christian. Not some other super saint, certainly not the pastor, but someone who cannot be mistaken. Cannot be mistaken on this crucial point. None other than God, the Holy Spirit himself. He must witness. He must certify. He must confirm to our very inner spiritual consciousness that we are the children of God. He witnesses with our spirit. And why cannot this be clear cut? So as to never again perhaps even have to think about it or explore it, whether we be children of God or not. No, because we live by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We trust, we believe, we are assured, yes. But we constantly seek the Lord in prayer. We ever resort to our Comforter, that by our Christian walk and the graces that our lives display and the signs of life demonstrated in our spiritual life, these are always, in our eyes, the gifts of God. Our very salvation is the gift of God. We trust in nothing of our own, but the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So that every day, this is the true Christian's experience. In all that he does, in his prayer, in his witness, in his attendance at the church to worship God, in his drawing together with other believers to make the gospel known, everything in our worship, in our deep consciousness, we think to ourselves, why do I do all these things? Well, because I know by that witness of the Spirit, I'm a child of God and I love my Saviour. Well, friends, we've looked at these three verses. Verse 14, are we led by the Spirit of God to holiness and witness and service? Verse 15, have we been converted, or do we still have a fear that we ought to try and keep that law? No, but that we have received the Spirit of adoption, the Comforter, to our hearts. Does our spirit have a witness to it? The witness of the Holy Spirit, that we are the children of God, and so we continue on in holiness and blessedness. May the Lord bless us as we have this understanding of the Holy Spirit's great and gracious work. Amen.